This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is the greatest divisional weekend I have ever seen, and I've been watching the NFL for a long time. All four games were epic, down to the wire. You saw two number one seeds go down. You saw three home teams getting beat. And you saw a classic Sunday night that may go down in history as one of the greatest playoff games ever, if not already been crowned the greatest playoff game in NFL history. We're going to get to all of that and what it all means as we are now down to four teams in the NFL. Four teams that do not include Aaron Rodgers. It does not include Tom Brady. It does not include the Buffalo Bills. It does not include the number one seed Tennessee Titans. Instead, you are going to be seeing Jimmy Garoppolo and Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes again, and you're going to see Matt Stafford try to lead the LA Rams to the Super Bowl, which will be at SoFi Stadium. Man, there is so much to unpack, and we're going to do it all because it's not just the play on the field. It is stuff off the field as well. Are we seeing Aaron Rodgers for the final time in Green Bay? Are we seeing Tom Brady for the final time in the NFL? Those are questions that came about because both of those gentlemen lost over the weekend. The Tennessee Titans got Derrick Henry back. It did not matter. Joe Burrow and the magical ride the Bengals are on continuing. But even more impressive is the magical ride that Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers are pulling as they will face the Rams for the third time this season to try to get to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. But we are going to start this hour with the epic Bills-Chiefs battle. Because I think in sports, we always want to find the next rivalry. We want to find the next thing that we know is going to be in our lives for a while. And this seems to be, as of right now, the thing in the National Football League that we can start looking forward to every single season is if these two teams collide, when will they collide and where will they collide? Can the Buffalo Bills get a playoff game against this Chiefs team in Buffalo? Will next year's version be in the AFC Championship game? There is so much, again, to talk about this weekend because as bad as the games were a week ago, this weekend made up for it exponentially. We'll get to all of it as we come back. And your thoughts on Twitter as well, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, please. We are going to start unpacking the playoff weekend of the National Football League when we come back. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, Wake Up Call. This is Sports Map Radio.
To Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, hit us up on at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, and your thoughts of this weekend's games, and four of them, and I don't care which ones you want to go to. Four of them all were great. What a weekend for the National Football League. Before we get to these games, let me just make this clear. The NFL is so important to the sports landscape of our country. It's the king. It's been the king for a long time. In fact, it's the king, and I don't even think there's really a prince, to be honest with you. I think it's a king, and then it's like a king with no heirs. None of the other three sports, the major sports, I should say, in this country are even close. Not the NBA, not baseball, and certainly not hockey. It's the NFL. And so I remember a couple of years ago when everybody started saying that they would boycott this league, and the league seemed to be, oh, how are they going to be affecting? And there was a political angle to it. And this, you know, certain people started kind of making fun of NFL ratings and, you know, saying, oh, look at the NFL ratings are down and they're awful. And look at this. And this, the NFL suffering here. But the reality of it is the game would always win. In the end, the game would always win out. People are just gravitated to this sport. This sport, the way this sport is, we just love it as a culture. We just do. It's just it. We just love the game of football. And when it's played well, we gravitate towards it. And I think what you're seeing in Kansas City last night is the emergence of the next Manning Brady. It's the next emergence of a rivalry that we always like to have in sports. We love rivalries, and we like when two players in particular, not just the two teams, but two players in particular, are establishing themselves as that. And I think while it's early, and this is kind of part two of these two guys playing in the playoffs, I think the future is extremely bright for what that rivalry could bring. The AFC is a dangerous minefield, though. I mean, you look at Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. There's a lot of young talent in that conference, and there's going to be teams that are going to make names for themselves, and you're going to have to reckon with them. But Manning and Brady had that too. I mean, it wasn't just easy for them to just always collide in the playoffs. There were plenty of teams along the way that were a pain when you go back to Brady and Manning's early years in this league. You know, Titans and Steve McNair, the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, you can find teams that have had moments in the sun when those two guys were trying to establish themselves as the chief rivalry in the NFL. But they played enough times, and they played, you know, when Manning was on another team, they played enough times for us to really enjoy it. I think Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are going to have that, because last night was the greatest playoff game I've ever seen. And it's better than the Chargers-Miami Dolphins divisional round in 1982, which I held on to as the greatest playoff game I'd ever seen, even though I was a little kid. And there were a lot of great playoff games in between. But the Dolphins-Charger game, where Kellen Winslow had to be dragged off the field and it went into double overtime and Rolf Benerska kicked it through the uprights and Dan Fouts and Don Strock had to come in for the Dolphins after the Chargers had a big lead and they traded touchdowns in the heat and humidity. All of those things were added to the element of what made that game so special. The fact that everybody gave it all, the fact that you felt like those two teams in particular were really Super Bowl contenders. That's what last night was. It's no offense to the Titans or the Bengals, but what I saw last night should have been the AFC Championship game. Those two teams are clearly better than everybody else. What they did was amazing in the final 2 minutes of that game.
It's unfathomable.
It's unfathomable. They didn't turn the ball over. Allen threw four touchdowns to one person.
To one person.
And the fact that we had 25 points scored in the final 2 minutes of that game is insane. Insane.
Yeah. And we found out that 13 seconds is way too much time.
Way, way too much time.
13
and you know what?
Seconds.
I'm going to say this. There are a lot of things in sports we say as cliches, but when you look at the reality of it, you sort of say, in the end, this is going to be really hard, right? 13 seconds. That's plenty of time for Patrick Mahomes. But in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, but it's still 13 seconds, right?
It's 13 seconds.
Like, it's 13 seconds, right? They got all their timeouts. Yes, but it's 13 seconds. He throws two passes to Travis Kelce, and they're kicking a field goal to tie the football game.
Yep.
That's all it took.
That's simple.
That's it. And then in overtime, he, who did not get the ball 3 years ago when the Patriots won the AFC Championship to go to the Super Bowl, he gets the ball on the coin flip, and that's all she wrote. Now, look, we've had a lot of times in sports, we need the one thing that sort of makes us go, hey, we may want to rethink this. We didn't rethink it when Patrick Mahomes was on the sidelines. I don't think the NFL is going to rethink the overtime rule after this. But it is going to generate enough of a buzz again. Look, if the Texans beat the Jaguars in overtime where Jacksonville doesn't get the ball, who cares? We don't care about these in the regular season. But it's when it's in the highest stage, when it's on the global stage, when the whole sporting world is watching this. And I'm telling you right now, the whole sporting world that cared anything about NFL football was watching this around the globe. Then the NFL needs to go, maybe, just maybe, we can tweak this just a little bit.
Well, was it the fact that we're upset about the overtime rule because the other team didn't get a chance to play?
That's
or,
it.
Or is it the fact that we really didn't want that game to end?
I think it has everything to do with the fact that
we do feel bad that Josh Allen didn't get a chance, because I think he would have drove the team down and scored a touchdown.
But I felt that way a couple of years ago.
Oh, of course,
when Patrick Mahomes was on the sidelines and the Patriots are driving down the field.
Yeah,
it's look. Does it seem fair? In a way, yes, because there's only one team, or in overtime, there's only one team that can kick a field goal on its opening possession to win the game. And that's the team that is that kicks off in overtime. It doesn't mean winning the toss, you would take the ball, of course. So basically the team that loses the coin flip. That's the only one. Because if the other team gets a field goal, you have a chance to answer that field goal. If I have the ball and I kicked off and I'm kicking a field goal, it's because I can win the game with it. Right? Because if you score, if I can't score a touchdown because I'm not going to get that opportunity to answer your touchdown because the game's over. So the only time I get to kick a field goal is if I stop you and get the ball back. That seems fair enough to the other side. Make a play defensively and you will get a better opportunity to win the game than the team that wins the toss. Because the team that wins the toss can only win the game if they score a touchdown on you with the opening possession, right? But after that, if you don't do that, if you kick a field goal, they can score a touchdown to win it. They can score a field goal to tie it that sends up sudden death. Or if you don't score, it becomes basically sudden death, meaning they so there's a lot of intricacies to the overtime. But the reality of it is when it ends like that, where one team gets the ball, drives down the field against a tired defense, scores a touchdown, and the game's over, there's a feeling like you've been cheated out of something. And I think we felt like we were cheated out of just a little bit, even though they played exactly the way the rules were, right? But my God, it was just to watch the final 2 minutes and not feel comfortable at any moment that anybody had control of the game was wild. Was absolutely wild.
It's a lame word for this, but it was so much fun.
It was fun.
It was just, I mean, you sat there with a smile on your face. I'm like you. I didn't have a rooting interest with any team. For me, it was kind of pulling for the Bills. Because I'm a Chargers fan and I don't want to see the Chiefs keep winning. But at the same time, God, I mean, how fantastic Mahomes! It's like feels like this is the Chiefs team of 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
This is again a team that struggled at the very beginning. Call it whatever you want. Finding a new identity, finding a different way of sorting things out from the Super Bowl loss. But the talent was always there, right? The talent was always there, led by the quarterback. So this is again, you have 17 games to sort out any mess. The playoffs are not about the number one team. Like, it's not college football. You can go in a little bit banged up. You can go in a little bit on a downward trend. You can go in on an upward. It doesn't matter. When you get to the postseason, whatever you do, you get a fresh start. Whatever your team is like. And it just so happened that the Kansas City Chiefs were red hot going in. They had won 10 of 11 games going into that Bills contest last night, including their playoff win against the Steelers. They were red hot. It didn't matter that they started the year bad. It didn't matter that the Bills won 38-20 in the opening meeting of the season in week 5, I think it was. The Kansas City was playing really well, and Buffalo was playing really well too. And they gave you a fantastic game. Neither one of these quarterbacks made a mistake. We got a lot to unpack here from the weekend, and there'll be a lot to talk about the quarterback. But I want to make this point clear. Something I said last week. Whether it's fair or not is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is that quarterbacks are in charge of wins and losses, right? That's just the way it is. Again, it's unfair because I saw this yesterday. Why do we blame quarterbacks for losing? It's a team effort. Yeah, I know. I get it. But it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Again, you can argue its merits and how fair it is. But it's just what we do. It's the only position in sports that where we put the complete onus of winning a game on one individual. We don't blame wins and losses on point guards. We don't blame wins and losses on shortstops. Pitchers have wins and losses, but they also have an ERA to remind you, like in Jacob DeGrom's case, that I can have a bad win-loss record, but I have a really good ERA, so you can give me the Cy Young Award. But quarterbacks, it's different. You can lead the league in passing. You can lead the league in touchdowns. You can do all of those things. But if you lose, you lose. But in this case, in this game, Josh Allen did everything right. He just didn't get a chance to get the ball back. That's it. This game is not on Allen. It's on the defense because, again, they failed. But it's not on Allen. Even though quarterbacks take the brunt of the game.
On the flip side of this, think about Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes in that offense could have said, it's 13 seconds, what do you want us to do? Like, really, what do you think we're going to do? 13 seconds, come on. But Patrick Mahomes' job is to do something with those 13 seconds. It is to make an omelet out of the broken eggs that your team has left you. And that's what he did. That's his job. His job is to get is to win games, right? Okay, our defense just gave up a touchdown with 13 seconds left. My job is to go out there and what are the circumstances? Okay, a field goal ties it, a touchdown wins it. How much time do I got? 13 seconds? Let's go out and do it. Let's go out and do something. That's his job. And I just cannot tell you what kind of level of game this was in the history of the sport. Because I've seen really good quarterbacks and I've seen really good playoffs in the quarterback performances in the playoffs. I may have to dive into the history books. I may have to look at all of them. The Elways, the Marinos, the Bradys, the Mannings, everybody. But I cannot remember immediately a game where two quarterbacks went head to head to head to head to head to head to head all game long and neither one of them made a mistake. It was that good. On the flip side, there were two quarterbacks that didn't get the job done. And we're going to talk about their legacies coming up when we continue on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we continue this morning, a football Monday. Frank Schwab, who did not join us Friday, is going to join us in Hour 3 this morning from Yahoo Sports. His team, by the way, the San Francisco 49ers, are still kicking around in the postseason.
Who knew?
The team that he picked to go to win the Super Bowl. They beat Green Bay on Saturday night. I don't want to call these things upsets. Like in the NFL, there's a really fine line between the, especially in the playoffs, right? I mean, you don't go into the playoffs as a terrible team, but in the way you would say an upset, sure. Packers are the number one seed. They're at home. The Niners are a six seed. Okay, right? But I think it's the way the Packers lost that made me go, are we doing this again? Look, I say it all the time. Again, I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. But he's got to find a way to get back to that Super Bowl. I'm not kidding. And for them to score a touchdown on their opening possession and then not score a touchdown for the remainder of the game and let the 49ers exploit one of the worst special teams in the NFL. Blocked field goal, blocked punt. They kicked the ball to Debo Samuel, who returned it like 50 yards. Whoever the special teams coach is at Green Bay, and I know they fired one and then just promoted one, he should resign today before they even get to the office. He should go, yeah, I expect this to come, so I'm leaving. What an awful performance by special teams, especially on the blocked punt. That was crazy. That was crazy. To have a rush from a big D lineman that was able to just crash through, block the punt. And did you see how everybody was just standing around? Like, that must have been the most nervous any player on the Packers were. The moment you realize the punt is blocked and nobody knows where it is.
Yeah.
It could be, like, they're looking for it. They can't see it. It's snowy. They're looking around. Like, you don't know where it is. You know you have to get it. Right? You better be able to get it so you have a fighting chance of holding them to a field goal.
Because, I mean, even if they don't pick it up and score a touchdown, I mean, they're within, what, 5 yards? Maybe
right.
10 yards
so
at the most?
So you give yourself at least, okay, maybe our defense can hold them. Maybe they get, you know, maybe we stop them on fourth down because they'll probably go for it this late in the game.
Force Jimmy Garoppolo to do something?
Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo does something stupid, right? But if they get it and they pick it up and score, we're a tied football game. And that's exactly what happened. So the 49ers go to Lambeau and win. They go to Lambeau and win where Jimmy Garoppolo didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. He's still alive in this thing. Is this not remarkable? We just watched Josh Allen He's got to go buy. He's got to leave.
The Niners should pick him up off waivers.
Right? Like, Josh Allen is now gone from the postseason, and Jimmy Garoppolo is still kicking around.
Yep.
God bless him. The Ringer had a great line on Jimmy Garoppolo. A great line. He said, Jimmy Garoppolo is extremely handsome, and like all handsome men, they do stupid things and try to get away with it. That's Jimmy Garoppolo. That was a great... He's like, what could I get away with? I don't know. Dumping the ball in the flat and seeing what happens? Ah, yeah. Little pickup here? I'm not sure. Find double coverage? Why not? See what happens. It's amazing. That guy's still kicking around. Still kicking around in the playoffs. Because the 49ers defense, as we saw at the very beginning of this postseason run, is very physical, and they stop the run, and they will figure out a way to shut you down, and they did.
And if this season has proven anything, or even like the most recent history of Niners-Rams games, is Jimmy going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, right?
I mean, could that be a real thing happening?
If Jimmy Garoppolo goes to the Super Bowl, that's 2 in 3 years.
Yeah. How many did Aaron Rodgers go to?
Yeah, one. I know, like, look, Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to talk about this in mostly him and Brady, because everyone's buzzing about their futures, right?
Yeah.
Is the final game in Green Bay? Is it the final game period for Tom Brady? The Broncos thought that they were going to get Brady on draft day. I mean, Rodgers on draft day, right? Remember the Broncos, you know, Mark Schlereth putting out the tweet, there's a deal in the works right now, right? And everyone's like, wait a minute, it didn't happen. And then we found out later that wasn't happening because there was no reason for the Packers to do anything. They didn't have to do anything. They could force Rodgers' hand, make him play. Now, next year is a little different, right? They're way over the cap, and Rodgers is going to be in a position where it would be his final year. If you're the Packers and you want to get something for him, now would be the time to start processing your future with Aaron Rodgers. Is he that unhappy that he wants to go somewhere else? And if he does, you could get a nice haul for him right now, but not after you complete another season. Do you sign him? You're way over the cap. If you do, a lot of other players have to go bye-bye. So what's the future? Right now is going to be a headache for Green Bay as they sort out their future. But if you're a team like the Steelers or the Broncos or anybody else that has been attached, I think those really are the only two teams that he's been kind of attached to as possibly going somewhere else. Is this the quarterback you want in terms of winning a Super Bowl? Because Rodgers is a quarterback that knows that, hey, listen, you got to get to that second one. You got to win that second one. He gets it. Does it bother him? I don't know. I don't know what's inside his head. But I do know that he wants to be put in the best position to win another Super Bowl. By the way, the team he just had was his best opportunity to win a Super Bowl. Why aren't they getting this done? What is going on up there? Why is it that when they get into the postseason, they find a way to lose? He's not beaten the 49ers in the postseason throughout his career. Why is it they run into a team that is just slightly better than they are when they have the best team in the NFC time and time again? If not the best, one of the best in the conference, year in and year out. What is it? Last year, it was about a communication mishap between him and the head coach on what to do on third and fourth down, where they kicked a field goal and Rodgers thought that they'd be going for it. What was it this year? What was the problem? Why is it that it looked so easy in the very beginning of the game to drive down the field and score a touchdown, and then you were held to 3 points after that? Now, he's not responsible for the awful special teams that his team played in this particular game. The decisions were terrible, right? On the blocked field goal, the outside tackle blocked the outside defender to open a gap for another defender to walk in and block the field goal. That's like a cardinal sin of blocking on field goals, is to not let interior linemen come in on they're the best shot at blocking the field goals. And kicking it to Debo Samuel, whose bright idea was that? He's not his fault, but again, he's responsible to play that position better than the other team.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue SportsMap Radio as we keep breaking down the four games over the weekend. By the way, my city is in just mourning over the Titans' loss on Saturday to the Cincinnati Bengals. Derrick Henry was coming back, 12th man. Now it's over. Good luck. Enjoy the offseason, Titans. And I got to be honest with you, if you're the Titans and you just watched what happened Sunday night, you got to go back to the drawing board, don't you?
Yeah.
You got to be like, okay, those two guys.
You need to go find a franchise quarterback.
Figure out a way to win those games because holy cow.
Well, I mean, it's embarrassing what the AFC has now.
Oh, it's crazy.
I mean,
it's
you just go down the list of all the great quarterback players that they have. I mean, each division, there's maybe one team in each division, except for the AFC South may have like three.
Yeah.
That each team, I mean, they have their franchise guy.
And we didn't even talk about Deshaun Watson playing for Houston this season, right?
Nah.
If he had played, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, right? I mean, those two guys, Watson obviously with his legal trouble was out a whole season. Lamar Jackson was hurt. For most of the season. So those two aren't even on the list. Trevor Lawrence is yet to be developed into the starting quarterback we know he can be with his skill set.
Yep.
But that those three aside, it's still an amazing AFC.
Yeah.
In terms of its young and quarterback talent.
Titans need to find someone.
They do. They do. Because that game should have been a Titans victory. Should have been a Titans victory. When you can get to the quarterback nine times and sack him nine times. You should win the game. But if your quarterback throws three interceptions where the balls are being batted up into the air and taken down, then, I mean, the one he threw where he threw it at they were down near the goal line, and he threw it, and the player just jumped up, touched it, and then brought it down, and then he's running, and then Tannehill has to go get him. Like, you got to figure out a way to throw the ball better. Patrick Mahomes threw a sidearm pass yesterday.
Yeah.
Where he avoided that very thing, right? He was running off to the right. He saw his receiver was open and then realized that there was a defender there and he couldn't throw it overhand. Because if you
throw it
overhand,
a traditional way.
Right, traditional way, because if he threw it the traditional way, it was either going to get tipped, picked, whatever. So he threw it underneath the arm of the defender in front of him to his receiver.
Yeah.
And
now,
by the way,
most quarterbacks can't do that.
No, most quarterbacks can't do that. If you can find one that does that, I would highly recommend you give him a job. By the way, great job on Jim Nance mentioning the late Dan Quisenberry, who used to throw sidearm for the Royals. That was brilliant. I got to think that came off his head. Maybe there was a producer in his ear going, hey, Dan Quisenberry used to do that for the Royals. Maybe you want to mention that. Right down the road. I'm hoping that Nance that came off the top of his head because that was a great reference onto the sidearm throw, especially in that town for Patrick. That was great. It was a great throw. But it goes back to the Titans that, you know,
you got to find a franchise guy.
I got to be honest with you. I know Derrick Henry's a special player and home run hitter when he's healthy. He can run. But I don't know if that's going to be good enough against what I saw last night. If that's going to be where we're going with these two guys, right? I don't know. Like, they beat both of those teams this season, but I don't know if that's the recipe to consistently beat those teams. You know, you caught Kansas City at a really bad time, and Buffalo was a fourth down sneak away from making that a more interesting game than it was. Nevertheless, I love Derrick Henry, solid defense by the Titans, but they're going to lose these games 19-13, right? They're going to lose these games 19-16 if they don't have an offense that can be electric at times, and they don't.
What we saw last night was, okay, we know where the top two quarterbacks in the AFC are.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're far and away ahead of the class. You have some guys who are on their way. I think Joe Burrow can get there. You know, I'm hoping Justin Herbert can get there. You know, you have quarterbacks that we've seen play already that's like, you know what, they are on their way of getting to that spot, but there's still a lot of catching up to do.
I have a friend of mine from college, and she's a big Buffalo Bills fan. She raised her kids Buffalo Bills fans, even though they grew up in New Hampshire. So that's how much influence she had on them, that they didn't grow up Patriots fans. She got them in the Buffalo very early.
And of course, the Bills had been irrelevant for a long period of time, and then Josh Allen came and started making the playoffs, started being good. But I wondered about her and her family last night, because when you have a team, when you lose a game like that, it hurts so bad, because it's not just the way you lose, leading with 13 seconds remaining and having the ball with a minute and change and going down the field and getting what you think is the game-winning touchdown, only to see them march down the field, kick a field goal, and then march down the field again for a touchdown. But I will say, some of the better teams had to go through some early problems before they were able to get up top. You know, some teams that won Super Bowls were because they struggled just enough early on. Now, look, Montana, you know, and Brady, they just kind of popped up. But remember, Manning had a lot of troubles early on before he finally got the Colts to win his Super Bowl. The Manning and the Broncos had
He only won one with the Colts. I mean,
that's right. He won one with the Colts. And Manning with the Broncos had to lose to the Ravens and Indianapolis before they finally went to the Super Bowl, losing to the Seahawks, and then going and finally winning Super Bowl 50. Some teams had to just find those early losses. I know the Steelers in the 90s, they lost to San Diego. They lost to Denver. They lost to the Buffalo Bills. They would lose in the 90s, Cowboys in the Super Bowl, before they finally won Super Bowl 40. I think there's tremendous upside for this Bills team. I do want to get to Tom Brady, though. And Tom Brady, again, when we talked about Patrick Mahomes getting 13 seconds and we go, it's 13 seconds still. Many of us made those same kind of comments about Brady when the team was down 27-3.
When that score came across, was that the first thought that went through your mind? It's like, uh-oh.
Well, I'd love to admit that, but no. My first thought was, the Rams are doing what I thought that they would do. I didn't think they'd win by this much. But at the same time, I went, if there's a guy that can come back, it's this guy. My immediate thought was, it's been a long day for the Buccaneers. But because I was watching the game from start to finish, I didn't have the 27-3 immediate. I saw how 27-3 came about, and Brady was awful, and they weren't very good. And they didn't really turn the ball over. That, you know, it was more like they were just getting stalled. But when they got back into that game, how many people were really shocked, right?
Right.
They had a 1% chance of winning that game, according to whoever's making these algorithms up, right? Who's ever putting things into a computer and spitting out, they had a 1% chance of winning that game. My wife, who's a big Buccaneers fan, was like, well, it's over. And I'm like, over? You have Tom Brady. And then she said, well, he's not Superman. I go, well, he's close. But then as they came back, she went, oh. But they didn't come back because Brady was driving them down the field, in as much as they were coming back because the Rams kept giving the ball to them.
That was the craziest.
Right? Cooper Kupp fumbled. Cam Akers fumbled for the second time in the game. They went three and out. They kept going, here, take as much opportunity as you want.
As if Brady was going back to the devil saying, hey, remember our contract?
Exactly. Don't we have a deal here? Right? So as much as, absolutely, Brady deserves all the credit. But look, when he came back in that Super Bowl down 28-3, right, he needed the Falcons' help too.
Yes.
Right? The Falcons weren't running the ball. They were throwing the ball. They were giving up sacks. They couldn't get first downs. The same thing was happening here. This meltdown was occurring right before our eyes. The Rams won a playoff game, turning the ball over four times, and still managed to win that game. And they did it because at the very end of the game that Brady is not responsible for, they went blitz, cover zero, and then he found Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. Who you don't guard, by the way.
Who you don't guard, right?
You don't need to guard Cooper Kupp.
Why would you let Cooper Kupp, the best wide receiver in the game, down the middle, wide open, his defender?
I heard this stat during the game. I'm pretty sure it came from Chris Collinsworth, that he was the triple crown threat or triple crown winner.
Right.
I don't know. Did you hear that stat?
No. Yeah.
Only like every 5 minutes, every time he touched the ball. Well, he is the Triple Crown winner this year.
He's the king of redundancy. but what was the plan, right? Why would the Buccaneers do that? The Buccaneers were hoping that if you blitz, there's no time to throw it to Cooper Kupp, right? There's no time to throw it deep. But one of the problems was one of their defenders didn't blitz. He didn't take it. He didn't run it. He didn't blitz. He was the linebacker that stood back while everybody else was coming at the quarterback. He stood back, and that was just enough time for Cooper to get that step and Matt Stafford find him down the middle. Again, lack of defensive play calling. Not too smart. Buffalo, on the other hand, that was also the similar. In the end of the game, of the Bills-Chiefs game, right? Would you have kicked it to the middle end of the receiving team with 13 seconds remaining?
You mean just squib?
Well, I argued this with my son last night because he said, why didn't they just squib it? And I said, well, remember, the clock doesn't start until the opposing team touches the ball.
Yeah.
If you squib it to the front line, they're not running with it.
No, they're laying.
They're going to just down it. They're just going to down it. But if you kick it to a mid guy, right, he might run with it.
Well, that's what you do.
And he has to kind of do something with it because the coverage team isn't there yet. So he's either, because it's a live ball, he has to touch it, right? He can't just leave it there. And once he picks it up, he's got to do something with it. And you're likely to eat maybe a couple of seconds off the clock.
See, I can see it two ways. I mean, you know, if you squib it, if you squib it hard enough, you should be able to get past that first line.
Right.
But what you're describing, like the better option probably would have been to do like a little pooch kick.
Pooch kick. Don't kick it to the end zone.
Don't kick it to the far guys
in the return team. Kick it to the mid guys in the return team.
What the Bills were thinking with the number one defense in the league is that we're going to force Patrick Mahomes to go 75 yards.
Right.
In 13 seconds.
Well, and hold on. He didn't have to go 75 yards in 13 seconds.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. I mean, about 50 yards?
That's why the decision to kick it to the mid guys would have been better because you're not
defending
the end zone. You would
have got at least a couple seconds ticking away.
If the Chiefs needed a touchdown, you're right. Kick it, let him go 75 yards in 13 seconds. Because if you send every guy back to make sure that you defend the end zone, it doesn't matter what real estate they get in front of you, right? But in this particular case, it did matter how much real estate they were getting in front of them because a field goal ties the game. So I would have said, look, they have their timeouts. I would have said at the beginning, look, we have their timeouts. So time clock management, once they have the ball, clock management is not going to be an issue. They have their timeouts. So it doesn't matter. They can find Kelsey over the middle. They can hit the sidelines. We don't even have to defend the sidelines because they're going to call timeout anyway, right? And they're not going to use up their timeouts in the 13 seconds. So we don't have to defend the sidelines. The only thing we have to take care of real estate. So what is the one thing that's going to kill us? The clock. So let's take the clock down as much as we can. How do we do that? We've got to make them touch this football on the kickoff and do something with it, even if it takes 2 seconds off. Even if it takes, maybe it takes 3 seconds, we might get bonus. So we've got to kick it to somebody around the 20-yard line where they have to do something with it. Now, of course, you run the risk of getting it to a guy like Tyreek Hill or somebody who's got tremendous speed, and they're going to eat up a lot of the clock but the yardage at the same time, right? But I don't know. That was just a decision I thought was a little curious. Why start Patrick Mahomes with the 13 seconds at the 25-yard line?
I love my favorite stat, though. Everyone was quick to point out that Patrick Mahomes drove, 50 yards in 13 seconds, which was less time than Dak Prescott had on that final run.
Great point. Great point. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up this hour, but hour two, we're rolling along with the playoffs as we continue our wake-up call.
This is Wake-Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, I do have to share this one story about Evan McPherson, who is the kicker for the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know, did you hear this story about...
Yes, I did.
This is fantastic. So Evan McPherson, the Cincinnati Bengals kicker, apparently, reportedly, was warming up
as the Bengals were getting ready for the drive to set up the field goal. And apparently he was kicking his warm-up shots into the net, turned to the backup quarterback and said, "Well, it looks like we're going to the AFC Championship game. Live your life as confident as Evan McPherson, because that's the lesson of the day."
Rookie kicker, by the way.
Rookie kicker. Said, "It looks like we're going." This reminds me of Larry Bird showing up at the three-point shooting contest and going, "Who's finishing second?"
Yeah.
Evan McPherson had no doubt.
But is this the Joe Burrow effect
to
this team?
Well, that's a good point. If you see your quarterback with just the level of, "I can do anything I want. I know how I can get, I will make every throw. I will make every play. I am so confident. There's not an ounce of doubt."
Yeah.
Does that rub up on you where you go, "My job is to kick footballs and I'm good at it and I'm warming up. I'm going to blast this through the uprights.
You want to sack me nine times? Still won't win.
Still won't win." And our kicker will blast one from 52 yards out to send us to the AFC title game. That team's got just enough moxie, too, to go to Arrowhead and win. I don't think they will, but they got enough moxie to go out there and win.
I think I'll be rooting for them, though.
You got it, man. I hear you. Hour two, good, the bad, and the dumb, and, of course, more from this unbelievable weekend. The best ever divisional round we've seen in the National Football League. It's all coming up as Wake Up Call continues on Sports Map Radio.